I believe it was sometime between 1978, 79, maybe 1980. I was sitting with my mom, and she was telling me about something that had happened and that she had heard about it. There were some family members of ours who had driven to Nashville, and I'm from Tennessee, who had driven to Nashville, and they had gone to see this lady. And the reason they went to see this lady is because there were some things going on in their lives that they just didn't understand, couldn't explain. And to them, it seemed like God was silent. And so they went to see this lady, and this lady kind of shared some things with them. And then this lady asked one of my family members, "Who is this person who thinks that he or she cannot be touched by Satan? Who is this person?" And so as my mom was recounting that to me, I was starting to think about, who could that person be? Thinking possibly it was myself, okay? And I'll tell you why. Because when I was in college, and every break, I would come home and spend time with my grandfather. My grandfather was a minister, and we talked Bible. I'm talking, we'd spend 3, 4, 5 hours talking Bible. I'd ask him questions about things I was learning. He'd throw questions back at me to see was I really learning, or did I just kind of thought I was learning. And so I was kind of feeling full of, thinking maybe, I had gotten the enemy's attention, right? Well, I at that time was what you call a novice. And scripture says you don't give any kind of responsibility to a novice. That was me. In my mind, I think I'm thinking one thing, but in the realm of the spirit, I'm a novice. And so my mom was telling me about that. And then she got the strangest look because she says, I found out the question was being asked about me, my mom. And I said, "Why would you think that they were raising the question about you?" It's because some of the things that the lady said that no one who met with her knew those things, okay? And so 20, 25 years later, I began to understand that my mom, in a way, had described being involved, or my family members had been involved with someone who had a familiar spirit, because they knew just enough about my mom's background and history to convince those who were in the meeting that they were talking about my mom, because they drew that conclusion based on what they knew about my mom. You don't hear much about familiar spirits these days, but you do, okay? Remember the psychic network, okay? Do you remember the program that used to come on called Crossing Over, okay? You remember the program that has just been canceled on NBC called Medium, okay? All of these programs have to do with speaking to the dead about issues you're dealing with today. Now, there's one program that's still going on, and it's called Ghost Whispers. And I'm trying to think of the young lady's name who is the star in that. She was in Heartbreakers with Sigourney Weaver. Jennifer Love Hewitt. Okay. It's called Ghost, G-H-O-S-T, Whisperers. Because she hears from the other side, and then she shares messages from the other side with those who are involved. Okay, Brother Bear, why did you bring that up? Well, I was asking Father what to talk about. And so he brought to mind a message that Pastor did back in 2008. And it's called Beware of Familiar Spirits. Do any of you remember that message? Okay. Now, Pastor, he didn't cover what I'm going to cover this morning. He covered familiar spirits from the standpoint of there are people who will speak into your lives, evangelists, ministers, prophets, who are being influenced by familiar spirits and don't know it. And if you are not spiritually sensitive enough, what they tell you, you'll believe and not question. Now, I don't know if you all notice how a pastor operates. Whenever a pastor gives a word to someone, he hadn't said it recently, but most of the time he will tell you, when you get, well, matter of fact, he did a message within the last 3-6 weeks about when someone speaks a prophetic word over you, the steps you need to do to make sure that word is for you. You remember that? So whenever pastor then, he speaks a word, then you write it down, you go back home, and you pray about it. Because you just don't accept words like that because the pastor gave it. You just don't accept words like that because whoever gave it. Because God wants you to make sure that you are spiritually sensitive enough that you know that that word is really from him and that it is really for you. Okay? So he took me to that message, and I'm going to quote from it a couple of times this morning. But then he had me go to 1 Samuel chapter 28. And it's the story of the woman of Endor. Okay? And I'm thinking, okay, Father, why am I going to take a look at the woman of Endor? I'm not going to tell you yet. It would ruin things. But I'll get there. But as my habit is, I have notes. And Brother Don and Sister Cindy, if you could help me. The reason, and I've told you before, the reason I give notes is because I want you to be able to take what I say, look at the scriptures that I give you, and then you go home and study it out for yourself. And I think that's one of the callings that God has on this ministry. Because if you would notice, there's not a whole bunch of preaching. It's always teaching. And I think that's one of the biggest things that God has on his heart for the folks who are part of this ministry. Now, as Brother Don and Sister Cindy are passing out the notes, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 28. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 28 is the most detailed record of a familiar spirit in Scripture. You won't find anything close to it anywhere else. Now, how many of you all think that there are things in Scripture that God put in there just because he needed to fill pages? Did you all have enough? Great. How many of you all think God puts things in Scripture and he puts them in there so they can complete a story, but they're not really significant? Okay. So far, so good. One of the things I think, as I think back on the situation with my mom, one of the things that I truly believe about those of us in the body of Christ, this record has kind of led us to believe that interacting with people like that, who can speak in a way other than through God, is okay because of records like this one, the woman of Endor. Most of the time, and it's been from my experience, Christians will veer outside Christianity when they're not getting answers to the issue that they face. That's when they leave and go somewhere else searching for answers. Prime pickings for the adversary. That's exactly what he wants. And I think that's part of one of the things that breaks God's heart too, is that there are not enough of us in the body of Christ who have enough knowledge about Scripture, we have enough knowledge about how God operates, that we can help people understand that the answers are here. And then, not only that the answers are here, but then help them find the answer. help them understand how to get the answer. So let's lay some foundations first. What is a familiar spirit? Simply, a familiar spirit is a devil. Some like the word demons, but I like the word devil because I think it communicates a little bit more. It's simply a devil impersonating someone who is dead. That's the kind of the long and short of it. They know where the person, they know things about the person, where the person lived, grew up, went to work, who he married, who she married. They know things like that. Okay? Why do they know things like that? They've been watching you. They've been watching you. Okay? And so they know things about you because they have watched you. When we were standing over there during worship, the Lord brought to my mind, you remember the Wizard of Oz? Do you remember the scene where Dorothy is with the guy who, and I'm trying to think of his name, he also plays several roles in the movie, but he, you know, at the time, she's there just for the tornado, and he's telling her what he sees in his crystal ball, okay? Now, notice what he does. He pulls out a photograph, because he goes through her purse, pulls out a photograph. He sees a picture of her aunt and all that. So, as he was telling Dorothy what he saw in his crystal, what he was really doing is telling her some things that would be familiar to her to make her think along a certain way. That's important. He wanted her to think along a certain way. So he convinced Dorothy that because what he could see in his crystal, that she needed to get back home because of things going on with her aunt. Okay? Do you all remember the story? Do you remember the scene? Okay. Don't forget that because that's important. So a familiar spirit is a devil who knows about you. And I'm telling you guys, they know about all of us. They know about all of us. Okay, I'm not trying to scare you. Okay, I'm not trying to make you go home and, you know, keep the lights on at night. You know, put garlic on the door. But I want you to understand, devil spirits, demons know you enough that if necessary, they can use you against yourself. Okay? Most of the information that a familiar spirit will give, well, practically all of it, it's going to be past information. Because they can only give you what they have observed about you. Okay? They can only give you what they have observed about you. And that's important. Now, what is the purpose? Very simple. Familiar spirits want you to seek answers from a source other than God. That's the purpose. Seek answers from a source other than God. Now, I wonder where they got that. Genesis chapter 3. Did not Satan convince Eve that she could get answers from someone other than God? Okay. Now, let me read to you what Pastor said. And if you want to go back and listen to it, this message was from September 3rd, 2008. Okay? He said, and this was, you know, some words that the Holy Spirit had given him because he was listening to a message by Brother Gary Carpenter. He said, "Far too many of my children flock to services where they think they will get a word from me through the minister. What they don't realize is that many of the words that they have received have not come from me, but from familiar spirits. Think it not a hard thing for familiar spirits to observe your life and then give details of your life to a minister who has not discerned the difference between my voice and the voice of the deceiving spirit. Many of my children have believed they have received a word of knowledge, word of wisdom, or a word of prophecy from me, when in reality, they have been given a word from a deceiving spirit." Now, remember how the deceiving spirit was defined. Okay? A spirit has observed your life and give you details about your life. Whenever you act on a word from a deceiving spirit that masquerades as a word from my spirit, that's going to be important too as we go into this record. You will be implementing the plans of the enemy into your life. Did you hear what I just read? I'm going to read it again. Whenever you act on a word from a deceiving spirit that masquerades as a word from my spirit, you will be implementing the plans of the enemy into your life. This is how many of my children have seen their lives devastated when all along they thought they were acting on a word from me. Okay? Again, that was from September 3rd, 2008. I highly recommend going back and listening to that message. Okay? Now, what does Scripture say about familiar spirits? Let's begin in Leviticus chapter 19. And these are going to be some of the same scriptures that Pastor covered nearly 3 years ago. In Leviticus chapter 19, we're not going to spend a great deal of time on it, but we want to lay the foundation so you can at least see them and put your eyes on the page. 19 verse 31. It says, "Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God." That word regard means do not turn toward. Do not turn toward, okay, them that have familiar spirits. Turn not toward them that have familiar spirits. That's what that word regard means. Instead, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. And the word seek means to really go after them, trying your best to find them. Okay? So we see the first thing that God tells us, because this is the first scripture reference to familiar spirits. It says, don't regard them. Don't turn after them. Okay? Now, I have a question for you, because this is going to be important too. If God tells you not to do something in one place in Scripture, is he going to allow you to do it in another place in Scripture? No. If he tells you no in Leviticus, he's not going to say okay in 1 Samuel chapter 28. Did you hear me? Okay. Remember that. Okay. I'm getting all excited and just getting started. Look at Leviticus chapter 20. Look at verse 6. And the soul that turneth after such, same, turneth after is the same word as regard in 19:31. Okay? And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul. I will set my face against that soul. So let me ask you something, ladies and gentlemen. When my family members went to see this woman, do you think God was happy? Oh, no. Oh, no. They had stepped away from his will. His face was turned against them. Let me ask you something. Do you and see, Pastor is covering this in the series on judgment. If God turns his face in the Old Testament, when we go after familiar spirits, do you not think he turns his face in the age of grace that we're living on now when we go after familiar spirits? It's the same thing. God doesn't change. God does not change. Verse 6, and the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. When God says cut off, cut off. No inheritance. Cut off. No eternal life. Cut off. Do you see the picture? See, this is serious to God because he knows what a familiar spirit can do in your life. Okay? Look at verse 27. A man also or woman that hath a familiar spirit, hath a familiar spirit. Do you realize that you cannot have a familiar spirit unless you give that spirit permission to operate in your life? But, you know, Barry, they could be possessed by one, not unless they give them permission. Well, Barry, how you figure that? Because Word of God says God would not violate your will. And if God won't violate your will, do you think a devil can violate it? No. So you have to give them permission. So a man also or a woman that hath a familiar spirit, you've given them permission to live in your life, or that hath a wither shall surely be what? Put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. Okay? Look at the last record, Deuteronomy 18. In Deuteronomy 18, we're going to look at verses 9 through 12. How does God feel about familiar spirits based on what we read so far? Okay. How does God feel about familiar spirits based on what we read so far? So, if you ever watch the movie Ghost Whisperers, how does God feel about you watching Ghost Whisperers? If you ever call the psychic hotline, how does God feel about you calling the psychic hotline? If you ever watch reruns of Crossing Over, how does God feel about you watching reruns of Crossing Over? Oh, man. Verse 9 of 18. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or wizard, or necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God does drive them out from before thee. So God wants us to not be around things like that. Okay, now I'm going to hit you. I'm going to make you very unhappy. And you don't have to answer, but just make a mental note. How many of you have watched a movie in your life where someone is speaking to someone who's died? I mean, you don't have to show me, but just think about that for a minute, okay? And how many of you liked the movie? God! I have been there, okay? I have been there. You think God was happy with that? Okay, now that I have mentioned it, you're accountable. Okay, now moving on. Seriously. God has called us to a standard of holiness in everything we do, what we say, what we watch, what we read. And if you're not living by that standard of holiness, then you are opening the door for non-holy things to happen or to come into your life. Okay? He's called us to a standard of holiness. Do you think the legislators in the state of New York were living by a standard of holiness when they voted to allow gay marriage? No. But do you think that they knew they were not living by a standard of holiness when they did that? No. No. Because, see, they are like many of us in the body of Christ. We are so wrapped up in the world that we don't see a lot of things wrong with what the world does. We don't. We don't see a lot of things wrong. Not at all. We don't see a lot of things wrong. But I tell you what, while we may not see a lot of things wrong, this in here tells us things are wrong, and we know it, and we ignore it, and we go on, and we go on. Every time you ignore your spirit on the inside, your one step closer to searing your conscience. One step closer to searing your conscience. And we're going to see that that is essentially what King Saul did. He seared his conscience to the word of the Lord. That's essentially what he did. Okay? Now, before we can get to 1 Samuel, we got to do a little background, and I'm not going to do much, but turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15. This is one of my favorite records. It has to do with God giving Saul the commandment to go in and wipe out the Amalekites. You kill the king, you kill the men, you kill the women, you kill the children, you kill all the animals, you leave nothing. But Barry, that's kind of hard, don't you think? Let me ask you something. Who was it that God used to bring down Egypt? Moses. Okay, he used Moses. Now, remember when Moses was born, there was an order out to kill all the Hebrews, right? Moses lived, and you see what Moses did to Egypt. God is telling Saul, kill them all. I don't want any of them to live because of the potential of what they can do. Do you see that? And see, that's the same attitude we should have toward anything that is not godly. Kill it all. Okay? So God tells, through Samuel, Saul to kill all the Amalekites. But of course, you know the story. He saved the king alive. He saved the best of all the stuff alive. And then he blames the people for putting pressure on him. And that's why he did it. Okay? And then we get down to verse 22. And listen to what Samuel says. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? What was God's issue? You didn't do what I told you to do. What is God's issue for us today in the body of Christ? You have to do what I tell you to do. Okay? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion, the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness, iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, because you did not obey, because you did not listen to me, then I have rejected thee from being king. If we don't listen, and we are called kings and priests, do you not think that if we stop listening long enough, God is going to say, okay, we're done? Remember, the standard is holiness. The standard is holiness. Okay? Now, between verses 23 and 34, Samuel does what Saul should have done. He kills Agag the king, and he wipes out everything else. And then in 35, and this is a very important verse to remember, okay? Verse 34. Then Samuel went up to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house in Gilboa of Saul. Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Now, that doesn't mean that on the day that he died, he had one more time to spend with Saul. What that is saying is, from the day that they left, parted, Saul never talked to Samuel again. Okay? Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. Okay? Samuel mourned for Saul. He never talked to Saul again. Okay? Important. Look at verse 16. Chapter 16. Look at verse 1. This is background. We're going to need this when we get to chapter 28. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Okay? So we know the story. Samuel goes to David's father, Jesse, and he has all the sons parade before him. And then Samuel, being a man, thinking about how God selected Saul, head and shoulders above everyone who was in the tribe of Israel. Okay, and I mean the children of Israel. So Samuel in this mind thinking, okay, God's probably going to do something similar again. All of Jesse's sons paraded before him. God said, no, 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 no. Okay. And Samuel says, okay, he sent me here to anoint a king. He said no to everyone so far. So he says, Jesse, do you have another son? And Jesse says, yeah, he's a shepherd out tending the sheep. Is that a type of shadow of what? David the shepherd? Jesus is of the house of David the shepherd? Okay? So he sends for David. Verse 12. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. The reason I'm laughing is we went to see my wife, Stephen, Candace, Stephen's girlfriend, Ashani, and Ashani's mom went to see the Green Lantern. Okay? Now, I like superheroes, don't get me wrong, but Green Lantern was not one of my favorites. I like Thor. Okay, Thor was my favorite. I didn't want to go see Green Lantern, but it was Father's Day, and Dara said, you know, if you don't go see Green Lantern, I'm not going to give you a Father's Day present. So guess where I went to see Green Lantern. Now, do you want to know why we went to see Green Lantern? Because Ryan Reynolds was in the movie. I mean, he's okay. He's all right. Okay? Ryan Reynolds. David is Ryan Reynolds in this example, okay? So, David was easy on the eyes, is what Scripture is saying. Verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of the brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Now, let me ask you something. On Wednesday night, we talked about God's characteristics. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. In God, there is no shadow of turning, according to James chapter 1, in terms of how he operates. So if God takes away a spirit, and then it says he sent an evil spirit, what does that mean? Okay, you have to look at the Old Testament, which is a shadow of the New Testament, of what Jesus did. When God took away his Holy Spirit, it simply allowed Satan to send his spirit to move in. That's what that means. Okay, and you can go back and study it out, and you'll see it for yourself. God would not take his spirit away and then say, okay, evil spirit, you take his place. Christians believe stuff like that. The body of Christ believes stuff like that. Okay? That's why I had to point that out. Okay? So, the Spirit of the Lord has now left Saul, and that's important. Saul now no longer has any way to communicate with God. You see? 1 Samuel chapter 28. Oh, man, I'm glad we finally getting there, Brother Barry. I know, but I have to, you know, lay some groundwork. Okay, I had to lay some groundwork. Verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel. And Achish said unto David, know thou surely that thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy men. David was staying with this king because Saul was after him, trying to kill him. And David said to Achish, surely thou shalt know that thy servant can do. And Achish said to David, therefore will I make thee keeper of mine head forever. Verse 3. What does it say? Now Samuel was what? Dead. D-E-A-D. Samuel was dead. When you look at 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 1, it talks about Samuel dying. And then all of Israel mourned for him. Okay? Now hold your finger here and look at Ecclesiastes. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 6. It says Samuel is dead, D-E-A-D, pushing up daisies. Look at verse 6. Look at verse 5. Look at verse 4. Jeez. Verse 4. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope, for a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Okay? As far as this life goes, the dead has no more. And we're going to read this portion. Verse 6. Also their love and their hatred and their envy, in other words, who they are, their life, their manner of living, is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Do you see that? Once you are dead, there's no coming back. That is important. Okay? Now, you say, now, Brother Barry, I understand familiar spirits, and I don't believe that God would use a familiar spirit to do anything. That's fine, and I appreciate that. But if you're faced with someone who does, how are you going to help them understand why they shouldn't believe that way? Okay? That's why we do what we do. Look in Job chapter 7. Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. You got to go back the other way. Job is for Psalm. Job chapter 7. And this is Job. And he's talking. He says, as the cloud is consumed and vanishes away, so he that goes down to the grave shall come up no more. Nevermore. He shall return no more to his house, neither shall his place know him anymore. Do you see that? Okay. So we have established then that Samuel is dead, and based on scripture, he's not coming back. Okay. Verse 4. Well, verse 3. Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. It doesn't say when he did it. It's just noting that that is what he did. Verse 4. The Philistines gathered together and came and pitched in Shunem. I wonder, was it a right-hander or a left-hander? Somebody caught that. Yeah, I'm glad somebody's awake this morning. Okay. And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart was greatly trembled. In Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 1 through 4, it talks about how when you go into war, you don't have to be afraid, because the Lord your God is going to be with you. Okay? But we know from 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14, the Spirit of the Lord had left Saul. Remember reading that? Okay, so that's why he's trembling. That's why he's afraid. Verse 6, and when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Those were the three ways that you could get an answer from God when you had a question. Okay? So what verse 6 is saying, that there is no way on earth God is going to talk to Saul. Okay? No way God is going to talk to Saul. Now, this word inquire, I'm going to use Brother Don, okay, and Sister Wanda as example for this one. So I want to know where Brother Don is, because I have a question I had to ask him. So I call up Sister Wanda. I said, Sister Wanda, I speak to Brother Don. Well, Barry, he's not here. He's gone to the store. But I can let him know that you called him, okay? And so when he gets back, he'll return the call. That's what this word communicates, inquire. Hold that example in mind, okay? So when Saul inquired of the Lord, he asked. The Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, by Urim, or by prophets. Then Saul said unto his servants, seek me a woman. Okay, seek me a woman, search out, strive after a woman that I have put out of the land, that God has said he does not want us to talk to. Seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit. Saul knew what he was asking for, okay? But what Saul did not know was that he knew he was asking for a familiar spirit because he truly believed that the spirit could bring up Samuel so he could have a conversation. He truly believed that, okay? Most of us in the body of Christ, when we do things like that, we truly believe that we're going to get some answers. We do. Why else would we do it? We truly believe we're going to get some answers, okay? So, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit that I may go to her. I may go to her. Verse 6, the Lord answered him not, that I may go to her and inquire of her. Remember the example I gave a few minutes ago about talking to Sister Wanda, looking for Brother Don? And I said the word inquire means I'm asking and she tells me information. Okay, same conversation. Ring, ring. Sister Don, Sister Wanda, is Brother Don available? No, he's not available. He's gone out to the store. Remember, the first inquiry, we stopped right there. Well, Sister Wanda, what store did he go to? And Barry, let me see. What store did he go to? I think he went to CVS because he had to have a prescription fill. Okay. Which CVS did he go to, Sister Wanda? You see this? He went to the one on Dorothy Lane that's two blocks from blah, 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 blah. How long ago did he leave, Sister Wanda? It was been about 40 minutes ago. When he goes to CVS, Sister Wanda, how long does it normally take him? Oh, I expect Don back within an hour, hour and a half. So it's possible then, Sister Wanda, Don is still at the store. Yeah, it's possible. Thank you. Jump in my car. I am going to CVS. I got to find Brother Don. That's the inquire in verse 7. Do you see the difference in inquire in verse, 6 and in verse 7? You see the length in which Saul went for this woman of Endor? Okay. Look at verse 8. Oh, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that has a familiar spirit in Endor. How did they know that if they had put them all out? Just makes you wonder, doesn't it? Okay. Verse 8. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment. And he went and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night. And he said, Now, Brother Barry, you said that they have no more portion on earth in the day. It's night. They can come back at night. Nuh-uh. No more portion means no more portion, okay? I pray thee, divine me by the familiar spirit and bring me up whom I shall name unto thee. Bring me up, okay? Remember that, bring me up. And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul has done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and wizards out of the land, wherefore they layeth thou a snare. Wherefore layeth thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul swear to her by the Lord. Do you see that? Let me see, how do I help you understand that? Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. It's all over but the shouting now. He's done. Saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. In other words, I don't care what God said. I don't care if God told me to get all of you out of this land. I don't care if God says have no contact with you whatsoever. I am not going to do what God told me to do. Okay. Is everything okay over there? You're right. Take care of it, Dave. Okay. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring up unto thee? Now, you have to believe that the woman really believed that whatever name he gave her, that was who she was going to bring up. Otherwise, why would she ask who to bring up? And he said, bring up to me Samuel. And the woman saw Samuel, and she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, why hast thou called to see me? Thou art Saul. Who told her this was Saul? Samuel. That's how she would know. Now, you do know this is not really Samuel, right? You know this by now, right? But that's just what it said. I just want to make sure you knew it's not Samuel. Okay. And the king said unto her, be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw God ascending out of the earth. Out of the earth. And the woman said, he said unto her, what form is he of? And she said, an old man cometh up, and he's covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed down. Okay? So, Saul, it says, the woman saw Samuel after Saul gave her the name. Okay? Thou art Saul. The spirit told her who it was. Notice that a man came up and not a spirit. Remember, man has no more portion on the earth. Okay? Also notice, why was it a mantle and not grave clothes? Remember when Jesus called to Lazarus out of the tomb? What did Lazarus have on? Grave clothes. You see that? Remember, what did I say before? When you read things in the Old Testament, it has got to agree. You have to look at it in light of what you know in the New Testament. So why didn't Samuel have on grave clothes? The Spirit needed to make sure he believed it was Samuel. The last thing Saul saw Samuel wearing back in 1 Samuel chapter 15 was his mantle. Remember when Samuel was ready to leave, and we didn't read it, but you can go back and read it. Remember when Samuel was ready to leave, Saul grabbed his mantle and tore it. And God says, just like you tore my mantle, the kingdom of Israel has been ripped from you. Okay? So that's how, see, so the Spirit then was using things that would communicate to Saul, that would convince Saul this was Samuel. Okay? Now notice too, it says that Saul perceived that it was Samuel. In other words, Saul didn't actually see him. Did you notice that? He perceived it was Samuel based on the information he was given. Okay? My family members perceived that that woman was talking about my mom based on the information she had given them. Do you see this? Okay? Look at verse 15. And Samuel said to Saul, the familiar spirit said to Saul, why hast thou disquiet? First of all, let me back up. And I'm not going to show you in the scripture this. You just got to get this on. You got to search this out yourself. When you read the Old Testament, there are less than a handful of references that talk about the devil in the Old Testament, in the entire Old Testament. You just don't see it. All of them that you want to talk about him are either going to be in Isaiah, going to be in Jeremiah, going to be in Ezekiel, but you don't see him dealing a whole bunch in the Old Testament, except when you look in the book of Chronicles, and that's only one reference there. It's by design. Because see, in the Old Testament, they believe what Job said. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. So everything for them came from God in the Old Testament. It wasn't until Jesus came and exposed Satan for who he was that we now can look back at the Old Testament and see how he was operating. You see that? Okay. I'm not getting a lot of affirmation, but... You have to know, ladies and gentlemen, that God does not change. The God that you see in the Old Testament is the same God you see in the New Testament. If he's acting different in the Old Testament, there is a reason why. But that reason has to be based on what we know that Jesus said about him in the New Testament. not based on what we've been taught about him in the Old Testament. 15, Samuel said to Saul, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? You know the thing that I found interesting about that? We know from the New Testament that all of those who died waiting for Jesus, waiting for his return, waiting for him to be born, for him to die, to hang on the cross, to be raised from the dead, where were they? Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31, it says Abraham's bosom. Okay? Now, if he is in Abraham's bosom, how is he being called up? Okay? Have you go back and read some of the stuff, you'll see it. Verse 15. And Saul answered, I am sore distressed. Now, I want you to look at how Saul responds to Samuel, to the familiar spirit. I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God is departed from me. Do you see this? Now, my last question, probably not. If God made the statement that you have nothing to do with familiar spirits, you have nothing to do with wizards, you have nothing to do with anything that's an abomination to me, why would God allow Samuel to talk to Saul through an abomination? Do you see it? Samuel is speaking to Saul through a familiar spirit, through an abomination. And see, so many in the body of Christ don't see that. They don't see that. They see the word Samuel, and it's got to be him. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. I'm not sorry. It's not. It's not. And see, you have to be as convinced of this as I am, that it is not Samuel. You have to be just as convinced as I am. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to show anyone from Scripture why it's not Samuel. You see what I'm saying? And see, that goes for everything that you believe. You have to be as convinced of whatever it is that you believe. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to show anyone from Scripture why you believe what you believe. Verse 15. So God is departed from me, and he answers me no more. Well, duh. Verse 6 says, God doesn't answer you by Urim, by the prophets, or by the priests. Yeah, he's not talking to you, Saul. You know why God is not talking to Saul? It started back in 1 Samuel chapter 15, when Saul did not kill the king of the Amalekites and wipe them all out. That's where it started. That's where it started. Remember I talked about how Saul had done things that would just sear his conscience to the word of the Lord? That was the start of it right there. That's all part of it. God answers me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Did you notice how he left out priests? He left out the word Urim, which means priest. Do you remember how David had gone to this priest to get a Goliath sword? Remember that story? And how Saul was so upset that he went in and he wiped out every single priest in that city. Do you remember that? Notice Saul doesn't talk about priests because he knows what he's done regarding the priests. So he doesn't talk about me through prophets or dreams. Therefore, I have nowhere else to go. So I am coming to you. What is the purpose of a familiar spirit? To get you to seek answers from a source other than God. Do you see this? Therefore, I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. Isn't that something? And so many of us today, we do that very innocently, but it's not an innocent act at all. Verse 16. Then Samuel said, wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee, and become thine enemy? And the Lord has done to him as he spake by me, again, really trying to convince Saul that I'm Samuel, for the Lord has rent the kingdom out of thine hand. How did he know that? Because that's what God did back in 1 Samuel chapter 15. It was said, I'm going to rent the kingdom out of your hand. He could know that. This is not new information. This is not new information. I'm going to rent the kingdom from thee and give it to thy neighbor, even to David. Isn't that, you see that? I'm going to give it to thy neighbor. That's not new information. Verse 18. Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord. How did this familiar spirit know this? Samuel said it two or three times in 1 Samuel chapter 15. You obeyed the voice. You did not obey the voice of the Lord. You did not obey the voice of the Lord. And because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected. This is not new information. Do you see this? And see, ladies and gentlemen, this is important. This is important. Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executed his fierce wrath upon the Amalekites. You see that? Therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. God didn't do it. God didn't do it. Saul did it. By rejecting God's word. But see, this spirit, he's setting Saul up. He's saying to Saul, you're in this predicament, Saul, because of the Lord. And see, so many of us in the body of Christ still believe that things happen to us because it's God's will. That's exactly what the spirit is telling me. You're in this situation, Saul, because this is what the Lord has done to you. This is his will. Okay? Moreover, the Lord also will deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines. How did he know that? Very easy. He already knew that God was not with him. He already knew that he, Saul, had violated God's command by seeking a familiar spirit. So Saul then, if God's hand of blessing was here on Saul, and when Saul started disobeying, Amalekites, keeping part of the animals, keeping King Agag alive, this is God's blessing right here, okay? You see where Saul is? You see where Saul is? Okay? Lying to Samuel. Asking Samuel to, you know, at least, you know, honor me with the people one more time. Okay? Telling his officer to find me one with a familiar spirit. You see where God's hand of blessing is? The farther you get away from God, can you say I can be hijacked? Okay? Can you say that I'm going into enemy territory? Can you say that I am open to whatever the Lord, that the enemy wants to do? The same is true today. When we step away, we open ourselves up to anything the enemy wants to do. And we can't say, God, why didn't you stop him? And God will only say, why did you leave? Okay? I think it was so neat that Joshua, he quoted, dwelling in the shadow of the Lord, under the shadow of the Almighty. That's exactly what Saul did. He left the shadow of the Almighty. Okay? Moreover, the Lord also will deliver Israel with thee into the hands of the Philistines. And tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. Hold up. Hold up. Did you catch that? Samuel says, tomorrow you're going to be with me. You're going to be in Abraham's bosom. No. No. This was a familiar spirit. This was not Samuel. Do you see that? See, there's so many things that this record tells you if you just read it and pay attention to it. You're going to be with me, buddy. You're going to be with me. And I'm telling you right now, you don't know this, but I'm not anywhere near Abraham's bosom. I am so far with Abraham's bosom, I can't even see it. Okay? Tomorrow you're going to be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistine. The Lord didn't do it. Saul did it by himself in a way. And then Saul fell straightway all on the earth and was so afraid because of the words of Samuel, and there was no strength left in him, for he had no bread all day nor all night. Okay? So we see that everything this spirit told Samuel, told Saul, was already known. Now, do you see why I read the scriptures before we got to 1 Samuel chapter 28? So, because, you know, everything that I read, that's exactly what he talked about. So there was information that was already known. Let's close it in 1 Chronicles chapter 10. Or was it 13? Yeah, chapter 10. And let's see how God viewed all this. In 1 Chronicles chapter 10, look at verse 13. So Saul died. Why did Saul die? For his transgressions which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not. What was the word of the Lord that he kept not? Not killing all the Amalekites and utterly destroying them. Man, woman, child, cattle. Okay? Which he kept not. And also, for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it, and inquired not of the Lord. Therefore he slew him and turned the kingdom unto David his son. Now God didn't slay Samuel, Saul. That was the result of his disobedience. Okay? But you see here it says where he did not inquire of the Lord. What he's talking about, remember the example I gave with Brother Don and Sister Wanda? There was a difference between inquiring and inquiring. Okay? And that's what we see. Now, as we close. Okay, Brother Bear, I see how that spirit that came up was not Samuel. I can understand that. And I can see how that could be, you know, a devil spirit that's operating through someone. And so I can understand all that. But, Brother Barry, why is this important? Go back, listen to Pastor's message from September 3rd, 2008. That's why this is important, okay? Because, see, Saul went after a familiar spirit. He went looking for a familiar spirit, okay? You don't see anything like that in the New Testament today of someone going seeking something that God has called an abomination, okay? The message is this. If you don't believe God is speaking into your life, you've been praying about something, you've been asking God for something, don't go searching somewhere else for an answer if you're not hearing from God. Find out why you're not hearing from God. Because, see, if you go somewhere else searching for an answer instead of searching God, that's an abomination. You're opening the door for a familiar spirit, someone who knows, someone who's being used by a spirit who knows just enough about you to be able to give you guidance. Okay? So, first of all, the Lord demands holiness. Okay? Anything that operates against holiness is an abomination. So if you seek counsel from anyone other than the Holy Spirit, or from a man or woman of a God that you know is walking by the Holy Spirit to help you understand why you're not hearing for yourself, and they can help you get to the point you can hear for yourself, you're walking on dangerous ground. Dangerous ground. But you see, too, in this record, the subtlety of how the enemy operates. You see how subtle that was. Saul knew it was wrong, but yet he was not getting any answers anywhere else. So he went to the familiar spirit. My family members, okay, Christians, went to church, paid their tithes, went to church functions, and yet when they were faced with a situation when they were not getting answers, they went to find to talk to this woman that another Christian had told them he or she had talked to and had gotten some answers. That's why they did that. God's not talking to me, so maybe this woman can help me get to where I need to go, because my other Christian friends talked to this person. Must not be anything wrong with that. Relationship with God is the most important thing that you can have. Always keep your relationship sweet with Him. And then whenever things like this happen, whenever you feel like you are in a dry place with God, you will know that this dry place is temporary, because you have a relationship with Him, and that this dry place is going to pass if you hang in there and do what you're supposed to do.